Let's go to Jim Harris on the Revolution Hotline from Sporting Life, Arkansas. Jim, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We were just talking about Elotion, and it was a great media conference, most importantly. It's also a good day out on the course, so that was it was good being with you last week.
Yeah, it was good times.
We should do that more often.
Yeah, we should play more golf, that's for sure.
At Elotion, preferably.
Well, that'd be good, too.
Yeah.
But I would take golf anywhere, even down the street.
There is no doubt.
Redsman, no doubt. But I think you guys have a tournament coming up there soon.
Yeah, we do. I need to talk to you about that, actually, too. Sure. Get you a tee time. The game between UALR and UCA in baseball tonight, speaking of the weather, Phil, has been moved up an hour because of the predicted rainfall. First pitch set for 5 o'clock.
Just like you were speaking of. Yeah, college baseball, when the schedule is really just a suggestion.
That's it. It's more of a ballpark figure or a guideline than an actual rule.
Right.
So,
a ballpark figure.
Ballpark figure, pun intended. There you go. Actually, it wasn't, but I'll take it. Jim, I'm sure you're excited to see, and I'll play the song again. And I think he needs to walk out to this. Somebody needs to make him aware of this song because he's so young, I doubt he even knows it. But the Spoon Man, named Freshman of the Week in the SEC for his performance over the weekend against Mississippi State, one of the few offensive bright spots for a team that is doing it from the mound but not so much at the plate, but good enough for 2 out of 3 against Mississippi State. So congratulations to the Spoon Man, Tyler Spoon, who Jim is a big fan of.
Yeah, Van Buren, which is Bill Vickery's hometown.
Yes.
I believe. Is it not?
Yeah, Bill Vickery says everybody's playing for second place. So maybe Tyler Spoon is moving up the list of all-time athletes from Van Buren.
No doubt.
It's Bill Vickery, Matt Jones, and now Tyler Spoon, a distant third.
But he's just a freshman, so give him time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's definitely taken up the big bat that they lost from Matt Reynolds moving on from last year. They just don't. And actually, they're hitting the ball better as a team than they were last year. They got 5 or 6 guys over 300. I think something I pointed out in my column last week and something that got Van Horn's attention and was talking about yesterday is that .960 fielding average for the team. I know to the average fan maybe that number doesn't make too much sense. It sounds pretty good, actually, when it's that high. But when it's up in .960, but that's not very good.
It's a good free throw percentage.
Yeah, it would be great, wouldn't it, if Arkansas could shoot 96% from the field. But to field at that level, as he pointed out, an average team, they would be probably pretty happy about that. But first of all, the SEC is not an average baseball conference, and you can't be average or below average. And they've just got to figure out something. They've got a really good hitting shortstop, who unfortunately also leads the team in errors. So if they were to move somebody else out and put him at the designated hitter, then you're pulling another 300 hitter out of the lineup. It's also not a fielder. So, Van Horn's choice is, to go with the offense over the defense in at least that position. I mean, it's always a balance. I'm sure Phil's seen that with his ball club over there, the Travelers over the year. You got to balance your offense and your defense. You can't just be just the best defensive team out there and everybody bat .225, or you can't put a bunch of 300 hitters out there and try to outscore folks while you boot the ball around in the infield. You got to have a good balance, which is exactly what Brett Bielema said he wanted his football team to have on offense last night. I hate to jump around, but I did see him last night in Heber Springs, and it was a ton of fun to get to spend a few minutes with him without a horde of media around him, and it was fun to hear him talk. I hope we'll get to talk a little bit more about this here in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you talk about the fielding for the Razorback baseball team, and I mean, everybody knows their big strength is pitching, but the one thing that can really hurt a pitching staff, aside from injuries, is a team that can't field the ball. The two have to work together, unless you're going to strike everybody out, which nobody can do, and strikeouts are fascist, and ground balls are more democratic anyway. But amazing to me
too.
That for a team that historically has usually been pretty good in the field, 31% of the runs that the Razorback pitching staff has allowed have been unearned runs.
31%.
22 unearned runs out of 71 runs allowed total by the team. That's 31%, which is an astronomical amount of unearned runs if you're just looking at the percentage of runs allowed.
I'll make it easier for everybody to understand. They're dead last in the league in fielding.
That's better. Okay. Well described.
Let me make it really clear. They're worse they're worse than the SEC in fielding. So,
which they shouldn't be.
Forget the numbers. That the position tells you all you want to know. And it's probably cost them at least three games, I know offhand, that they've lost.
Yeah, I can think of the Ole Miss finale for sure. That's off the top of my head. I don't know what else.
Tell you what, if it wasn't for Mississippi Valley State kicking the ball around in one inning at Dickey Stevens Park, Arkansas would have lost 1-0 to MVSU.
Yeah.
They scored two unearned runs off a team that made a couple of errors in the same inning.
Sorry, there had to be at least one game in Arizona, too, that was cost by errors.
Probably so. That's baseball.
It's more than probably three games, and probably Arkansas's. You know, had a break, as you point out. But, I mean, they won a game because of errors. And that's true in every level, too. I mean, you wait for the other team to make the mistake over yourself. But just off the top of my head, I mean, I'm thinking of a couple of games out west that they lost in that trip, at least two of those. Mm-hmm. There was critical errors in the trips in the games against Arizona State. They were completely shut down by Gonzaga out there, but they blew a game against Pacific. I mean, you're just looking at the non-conference losses, and then in the league, I mean, definitely a game against Ole Miss went the other way because of some fielding problems.
Well, Lee, again, get a chance to run down Alabama, a team that's actually ahead of them in the standings in the SEC West, one of two teams ahead of Arkansas. They start that series a little unique this week on Thursday. ESPNU televising the first game, then they play on Friday and Saturday as well in Tuscaloosa. So all those games carried on the buzz, so stay tuned. We'll have Razorback baseball.
All those Alabama fans are going to be all upset, you know, because the football coach here, you know, decided to point out his record in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Nick Saban's record in the Big Ten.
How dare he?
Yeah, and that definitely means – I mean, that's like criticizing the king. You know?
That's true. I do want to mention one more thing, and then we'll move on to football. 14-11-12-9. 14-11-12-9.
Is that my lottery number?
Yeah, I hope so. That's actually Arkansas's rankings in the four polls that we pay attention to. So Arkansas moving up, back in the top 10 in one of the polls, so that's good. They have rebounded from some of their struggles, and boy, winning 2 out of 3 on the road at Alabama this week would be a significant step in the right direction. I do hope we can talk some hoops before we let you go as well, Jim, but let's get to it from last night. We have the most current news, which is your visit with Coach Bielema last night, so talk to me about it. What came out of it, and I'm assuming you guys did discuss the overhyping of his comments regarding Nick Saban.
We did. And, of course, it's been explained that I think he tried to explain it too, but and I do plan to columnize on that today on the SportingLifeArkansas.com. But
I like that.
In a Q&A session, a lot of times you get, and I wasn't there at Saline County for that, but you know how these questions tend to go and what, you know, Coach, how are you going to beat Alabama?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Coach, we're going to be real good this year. Do you love the helmet, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, you get those, too. We're going to get rid of them gray jerseys, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm sure, I mean, you know, in the course of just talking about Alabama, here's the deal. Do you want a coach to get up there and go, man, you know, they won 3 of the last 4 national championships. We're not beating them. we're not ever going to beat them. And Nick Saban, you know, he just doesn't lose. We're not going to beat them. Or do you want a coach that happens to point out that they are fallible? I kind of like the second part of it. But the story on another website was presented a little out of context, and then it was taken by a lot of national media out of context. It's not like Bielema called a press conference recently and said, hey, I wanted to say something. I'm better than Nick Saban. We're going to beat Alabama. I mean, nothing like that happened, but it frustrates me in this kind of silly season of slow sports news, you know, between the regional finals and the Final Four, that we've got to have columns that say that Bielema called out.
Yeah.
Saban. I got another one that says compared it to Lane Kiffin, you know, and how Mike Fly had to You've had the guy on the air, Barrett Salee, wrote that.
Yep.
You know, that, hey, you know, Mike Swive might have to talk to his coaches again. You know, there's a heck of a lot of difference between comparing your Big Ten record to Saban's record. And, of course, it didn't coincide. Let's get that straight. That Thielen was not coached head-to-head against Saban, that they were just in the same league at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big difference in what in that comparison to Lane Kiffin calling out a rival coach for allegedly cheating in recruiting.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge difference. And I thought it was I thought some columnists around the SEC were trying to stretch it and get page views, maybe.
I'm with you. Look, here's my deal. I think people have listened to this show long enough to know that if I think a coach, even an Arkansas coach, does something stupid, I'll be happy to point it out. I think this is much, much, much ado about nothing. And he made a good point. Look, he's not here to play Alabama. He's here to beat Alabama. That's what he gets paid for. Yes, it's an extremely difficult task. Yes, it was one of the huge sticking points for Bobby Petrino. And, you know, I think everybody agrees that he did a good job as the head coach. But, I mean, that's your job. When you're a head coach at any of the SEC West schools, frankly, your job is to beat the other schools in the SEC West, if not all the schools in the East, when you play them too. But anyway, I mean, that's a fact. That's not really in question, is it?
It should not be. And it should be the focus. Although what's good, it should be the focus up there now. The best thing about this coming season is that Alabama's not the first conference game of the season, or it doesn't follow, you know, two cupcakes either. It's not the ultimate focus for spring practice, for summer work, for August. You know, they've stuck it now down in a pretty neat spot where it's where Alabama used to play Tennessee, actually, the third Saturday in October. That's kind of interesting. It doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all, but here's the deal. I mean, if Arkansas is going to win the West, they got to beat LSU probably. They got to beat A&M, and you know, year in and year out, the way Saban's done, you got to beat Alabama.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, look, if it takes Nick Saban leaving for them to beat Alabama, I'm okay with that, too. I just wanted to beat Alabama at some point.
Yeah, that's fine.
That'd be nice.
That's fine, but he didn't come here. I mean, one coach said he didn't come here to paint.
Yeah.
Well, this coach said he didn't come here to just play Alabama.
That's true. Well, I will say this. You called it the silly season, and that's a great way to put it. And once spring football ends, it really gets ridiculous until fall camp starts. Because we don't do a whole lot of workout updates from over the summer, as good as the strength and conditioning coach may be for Arkansas. I will say this, you know, this time of year last year, we were, 1 year ago and 1 day ago, where the wreck happened with the motorcycle. I hate that it happened. I don't think it was good for the program. But I will say this, it was the easiest summer in the history of sports talk radio for us to fill time, because there was always a constant development. And after the whole thing broke about the Darrell connection, and then it was, he's going to be out, or is he not going to be out? And then it became, who's going to coach? How's that going to go? I mean, it was the easiest summer ever. I mean, it honestly seemed like it lasted 2 weeks. Normally, it seems like it lasts 2 years.
Yeah, content can be a little difficult to find for sports talk shows in the middle of the summer. Not last year. Not at all.
So
comedy shows, too.
We also found out, speaking of Bobby Petrino, Jim, yesterday, that Western Kentucky, to the surprise of no one, is heading to Conference USA.
I guess the surprise that this announcement didn't come a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knew once Middle Tennessee left, the other shoe was going to drop, and that other shoe was Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and they had said, or there had been reports, that they would certainly be, you know, probably the next out, even though they're not near the metropolitan area team. I wouldn't call Middle that much, but they're only 30 miles from Nashville, but... And I guess Bowling Green is only about an hour from Nashville. So I guess Conference USA is going for that big Nashville market and the big Miami and South Florida market with their new teams.
Mm-hmm.
Kills the Sun Belt even further. I say kills. I know they're going to add App State, Appalachian State, and Chattanooga, I guess.
Georgia Southern.
Yeah,
Georgia.
Well, and then Texas Arlington in basketball is a good addition. That's a good program.
Yeah, that does get them in a good populated area, although sometimes that stuff's overrated. Just because you're getting somebody from a populated area doesn't mean people in that populated area care about that team.
That's true. But they have they've had a successful program, I guess is my point. I don't think it's going to be, all of a sudden everybody in the, the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area is going to start paying attention, but still. And then Texas State's another good ad. I've been to Texas State a few times. It's a great facilities down there. They've got a good football program.
Now, see, I thought Texas State was trying to go to the WAC. Did the WAC just die? Is that what happened?
I don't know what happened with that.
No, I thought they were looking to try to...
They've joined full-time into the Sun Belt in all sports. Then you have Idaho and New Mexico State for football only.
That's right. That,
yeah, Idaho and New Mexico State give them scheduling edges. I mean, they're going to play those teams probably anyway. So mm-hmm. if all eight teams in the league were going to play them, might as well make it a league game.
Right.
So that makes sense, and that certainly they're too out of the way to be a basketball team. It's always going to be a league that's a little bit, going to have some people moving here and there. And I think Arkansas State would like to think it's a possibility for the Sun Belt. I think if Gus Malzahn had not moved immediately out of Jonesboro, I think he would have been trying to push that very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Brian Harsin feels. He might feel good about his position in the Sun Belt and at this time, anyway.
Well, last year, of course, with the bowl game opportunities, if you're a football coach, I would say, I want expanded opportunities for postseason play, and it looks like they are getting more opportunities in postseason play, provided they've got the kind of records you saw last year. And I know that we talked to Carl Benson last week, the commissioner, and there's an effort going on here in Central Arkansas, as I'm sure Jim knows, with Chris Peterson, the folks at UALR, to put a bowl game in Little Rock. So, I mean, again, they can continue to further expand their opportunities in postseason. That's really, to me, what it's about. I mean, for them, I would think. I mean, yeah, Conference USA probably has a little more cachet from a football standpoint at this point, but I don't know how much better they're going to be at the end of the day. You know, if you can get three or four teams into the postseason, I would think as a Sun Belt conference, you're pretty happy with that.
Maybe a little bit of a step ahead of the Sun Belt as far as football and basketball goes. But still, when they play in a bowl game, I mean, if that bowl game in Little Rock goes down, it's probably, I mean, my guess is it's Sun Belt versus Conference USA.
Probably so.
I mean, so they're still at that tier as, for FBS schools. But, you're really rebuilding the Sun Belt for basketball now. I mean, completely rebuilding it. It's not the conference that it was last year, the same level. You know, I think the idea of getting two teams out of the Sun Belt into the Big Dance is probably over for a long time now. And it's not good for the Sun Belt to lose, big programs like this, Western mm-hmm. Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, North Texas, the two Florida schools. A couple of them, it's okay. You're bringing in a lot of unknowns and a lot of schools that have competed at lower levels of Division I sports. It's like the Pirates. We're perennially rebuilding in Pittsburgh. The mm-hmm. Sun Belt is now rebuilding.
I would like to point out on that note that the Chicago Cubs are in first place in the Central, so we're gonna drink it in as long as we can.
Look, they beat the Pirates. You get half a win for it, okay?
The Pirates are a good team. The Pirates are expected to contend for a playoff spot this year in some people's minds.
Not in mine.
Not yours. And yours, mine, is the only one I'm really worried about.
I'll believe it when I see it when it's August and they have more wins than losses and are not trending downward.
Jim, I got my edition of Executive Golfer yesterday, and I got some Keith Lee Service Company Live fan feedback. Roscoe and Pine Bluff says the article Jim Harris does is fantastic in there, especially the one about John Tyson and the blessings. Great job. Did you get to play the blessings as part of your research, Jim?
Well, no, two reasons. It was, I think during the time I interviewed John, it was about 25 degrees or something, and I think it was snowy and all that. It was non-golfing weather, I can tell you that.
Okay.
I would like to play it someday, although I'd like to play better than I am right now, if a lotion was any indication. I do want to get up there in May for the NCAA regional. But we should have some really good golfers and teams playing there. The state of Arkansas will have two big tournaments this spring and summer. Not only the Western Amateur at Elotion in late July and early August, but the NCAA regional. They've divided it into six regions now. Used to be three. Now you have six regionals. And they take a certain number of teams from each regional for the final grouping that goes on to play for the national championship. But there'll be a regional at the Blessings. And I'll tell you what, back to Elotion, that is going to be one tough trip for I don't care how old you are, how young you are, going up and down those hills. That thing was a lot more change of elevation than I thought it was. It's not like Augusta National where you go down, then you work your way back up. I mean, this thing was like up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness we were in a cart.
Yes, no doubt. And it's going to be, look, when it's warm and or hot, I mean, straight up hot, and you've got a caddy carrying clubs all day and the white jumpsuits, and you've got, you know, players out there and fans out there. I mean, it's going to be a challenge physically. And we already know that you have to play potentially 144 holes plus, depending on how long your matches go. If you play them all the way out and then some potentially, it could really, I mean, we talked about it, it's a great test. And Steve Melnick referred to that about it being the greatest test in amateur golf. When you think about the number of holes that have to be played to win this thing, there is no question. That's why you see all these great names on the list of winners, because the cream rises to the top in this situation. So,
yeah, I mean, look at the guys who won it,
yeah,
or who have at least made it to the Sweet 16. And I'll bet you none of the courses they played, of course, they played one course for almost 40 years in Michigan, but no course they played has presented both the weather, the heat, which led them to add another day to this tournament, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The second portion, which used to be 36 holes, after they cut to 44 in ties, it used to be the next round was 44 golfers playing 36 holes of medal play.
Yeah.
And this year, because of the heat, because of what they anticipate here, they decided to split that into 2 days. But still, I mean, with the heat they're going to encounter and the terrain they're going to encounter at that golf course, you're going to have to be an athlete. Anybody questions golfers being or not being athletes?
Mm-hmm.
An athlete will win this.
There's no doubt. Well, we played it from the members' tees as opposed to the tips, and we were in a cart. So, yeah, it's going to be an unbelievable challenge when it's hot and you're playing 7,500 yards. It'll be impressive, and it'll be as well manicured or better than any other course probably that they played from a manicured standpoint and a scenery standpoint. It's going to be a great, great test and, I think, a great experience for people who have not had a chance to get out there. I do have, Jim, you know, our friends.
Or have you volunteered?
I have not yet. Honestly, I've been so busy since we were out there, I've not even sat down to do it.
I have, and I got what I wanted. I'll be a volunteer. I won't know my schedule, but folks, take advantage of volunteering. These guys need to make this tournament run and give everybody the experience they deserve out there coming to Little Rock. They need 700 or more volunteers. Please go to thewesternamateur.com and consider volunteering.
Well, it's a great experience, too. Yeah, it's $100, but again, you get 2 shirts and a hat, and you get to use your badge when you're not volunteering to watch the golf. So it's a heck of a value, I think, for $100, and that's what the normal badges are, too. So you give a little bit of your time, and you get a lot back.
And you get a free meal, too.
That's a good deal, too. Jim, I got an email here from a guy yesterday. I want to ask you about this, and I don't know how much you've heard about it. I've always thought Heineman is extremely underrated for a layout, and I always said that it would be great if they could put some money into it like they've done with Rebsamen. And this guy said that they're upgrading the course starting this month. They're going to be rebuilding and raising 3 greens. They're going to close for May and June and replanting, rebuilding all the other greens as well. It says they're going to be fitted with the same turf as Rebsamen and Country Club of Arkansas.
Great.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that. Because, I mean, honestly, I mean that totally seriously. There's no sarcasm at all. I think Heineman is a really challenging, fun layout to play for a public course here in Central Arkansas. I'm thrilled that they're going to do some upgrades to it.
Right. It's probably, it's, you know, the new equipment or this era has probably made some of the holes a little shorter than they were just, you know, the tests they were designed to be. But I do know it's been a course I played for many years. And if you can play Heineman, just the test alone, you can play anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a good test. They haven't had the great grass. Sometimes they just have poana on the greens, it seems like, when they're dormant. It's a great – I'm glad to hear that. I've not seen any announcement, or certainly no one at the city called me to tell me that, or we would have put that in. And that's great news.
Yeah, I just got it on an email, so I haven't confirmed it or called anybody, but I'll – you know, I take everything I get on as a fact.
Well, they're
going
to put Champion Bermuda on that course with everything else it offers, the nice layout, the – it's a challenge to walk, especially when it's 99. I about fell out one day trying to walk that thing.
I about fell out this week when I found out that both B.J. Young and Archie Goodwin were declaring for the NBA draft. I wanted to get your thoughts on them and what you think their potential will be as pros, I guess. I've seen, you know, draft pundits say that both will get drafted. They may not go where they want to go, but we're not surprised at all by B.J. Young. I was a little bit surprised that Archie Goodwin didn't come back at least for one more season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, next year he might have got a lot less playing time. Mm-hmm. With the kind of team that Kentucky's pulling together, and they're still recruiting. I mean, they've already got five McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah, better to escape to the NBA because those guys aren't nearly as good as the kids that are coming to Kentucky.
He'll get a lot more playing time, and then he might not get much of a pay cut. but he should go before B.J. Young. I think he brings a little more to the table, probably shoots a little better. I mean, he'll be a good pro. He'll get on a team that I think will fit him, and he'll look the part. You know, B.J. Young, I'm not saying that staying at Arkansas would have benefited him, but he definitely needs to develop his shot. And I think even if he gets drafted, he'll be spending a lot of time with a better shooting coach than whoever it was he worked with over this season.
Well, you know,
I mean, I don't think it was anybody at Arkansas, although no one seemed to want to talk about it up at Fayetteville. But whoever, you know, instructed him over the off season, seemed to really kind of mess with his whole confidence for a while. But yeah, I think he'll do good. I think Marshawn Powell's got a chance to go in the second round. I expected them both to go. I definitely expected Marshawn. He's given 4 years to the university, definitely improved as a person and overall as a player, even though his numbers weren't better this year than they were as a freshman. I mean, he can shoot from the outside better. I wonder where he's going to fit as a three. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can guard a three, you know, and that's got to be a factor for somebody drafting, but
you know,
good luck to both of them.
Yeah, you know who Young reminds me of a little bit, Jim? And I saw him. He's still in the league, which surprised me. I guess I hadn't heard anything about him in a while. But a guy that I watched at my alma mater is Jamal Tinsley.
Yeah.
I saw him deliver an alley-oop on a highlight last night. And, you know, he's a guy that I think is somewhat similar in some ways to B.J. Young. You know, not necessarily known as a great shooter, but, you know, adequate. Definitely good first step off the dribble and, you know, a guy who can create some havoc for a defense. So I think if he can hang around the league this long, I got to believe that B.J. Young can find a place if, like you said, he can improve a little bit on that jump shot.
Well, I kind of wonder how B.J. would have worked out if Arkansas had another perimeter scorer that could score and let him average. I mean, he had the potential to average 6 to 8 assists a game. I mean, you know, really, he can bring that. He is a great passer when he wants to be. He should benefit on the pro ranks with that ability and be surrounded by more scorers. The fact is, these are Arkansas's two scorers, and they had to do a lot of that load, and people would clamp down on them. They still average 15 and 14.9 a game. I guess they provided 30 a game for Arkansas. Somewhere or another, Mike Anderson's got to come up with scores for next year. I'm not sure the recruiting class has a 15-point-a-game man in it, but certainly we're going to find out.
Maybe we'll get 2 10s. Be okay.
Well, that'd be 10 points short of those guys, but if you got 10 points out of Alondis Harris, who becomes eligible next year, 10 out of Portis, and if Ky Madden continues to improve like he did over the last 3 weeks of the season and can give them, you know, 10 or 12 a game, then you're replacing the scoring at least.
Yeah.
You're not bettering it yet, but
I heard Billy Donovan talking about that the other day. He said he'd rather have, you know, 5 or 6 guys that are averaging double figures as opposed to having two big scorers maybe. So maybe Arkansas will be a little bit better off if they can get a little more balance from a scoring
standpoint. Still recruiting two guys. They're recruiting a kid from Searcy, you know, Jamal Jones, who's visiting several other places, but
right.
I think he'll be a Razorback. He's a guy that Ron Crawford told me had, you know, Pelfrey didn't recruit him, but Crawford said he could play. He ran into some off-the-court difficulty at Ole Miss, but I think he's cleaned up his act. He could score. And then they're recruiting a guard out of junior college, Desmond Lee. I don't know where he's going to go. Arkansas can get him away from, I think, Vegas and some of those teams that are recruiting him, that would be a good coup for this coaching staff.
Jim, we appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to visiting the, again soon. We're going to get you up here.
Thanks for having me. Sorry we went over a little bit.
But, no, enjoyed it. Good stuff today. Lots to get to, and thanks for the insight on the conversation with Coach Bielema. That's good stuff, and we'll be looking for your columnization of it, as you said.
Very good.
When will that be up?
Later today.
Okay.
After I ate lunch.
When you leave me alone and let me stop talking.
Leave me alone.
SportingLifeArkansas.com. Jim, appreciate it. All right.